MacArthur is noted as saying the following, and I quote, "By profession I am a soldier and take pride in that fact. But I am prouder, infinitely prouder, to be a father. A soldier destroys in order to build. The father only builds, never destroys. The one has the potentiality of death, the other embodies creation and life. And while the hordes of death are mighty, the battalions of life are mightier still." And of course, he took his role as a father seriously, because he understood that when you are a father and you're doing it well, you are building life into your son or into your daughter. The role of a father, and I don't need to tell you this, is a role that God has designed. A role that came about in the mind of God. And today what we're going to learn is we're going to learn specific principles and how we, as men, can grow to be godly fathers. How we can accomplish this role and to do it well. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 begins with a very precious term, and that term is children. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And, verse 4, you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Now, something that is interesting about Paul in this letter is that he develops a rhythm in his writing. Before he approaches this subject of children, parents, and fathers, he deals with what subject at the end of chapter 5? The subject of marriage. And I want you to take notice, just briefly turn the page to Ephesians 5, and I want you to notice verse 21, where he says, "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, wives." What's he begin with when he begins talking about the marriage relationship? He speaks of the wife. And he says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." Then Paul says in verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives." Notice then in verse 1 of chapter 6, he says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Then in verse 4, he says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." Now there's a rhythm here. In other words, he speaks to those that are to be submissive to an authority, those that are to be under an authority first. And he gives them their instruction. In other words, wife, you are to be submissive to your husband. But then he turns his attention to the husband and he says, "Listen, men, this is how you can make an environment so that your wife can easily submit to you. Children, you are to obey your parents. Fathers, this is what you need to do to create an environment so that your children can easily and willingly obey you." It continues on. Look at verse 5. "Servants, be obedient And what do you think comes after that? Paul speaks to masters. He says, servants, be obedient. And then in verse 9, you masters, do the same things unto them. Forbear threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. So there's a rhythm here that Paul uses to communicate this subject of submission and authority. And it is an important distinction and an important thing for us to remember, especially as men. Because in two of these instances, we are called upon to create environments where those who are submitting to our authority, to our role, the environment should be created by us such that it is easy for them, it is a joy for them to live under our authority, to live under our love, our nurture, our care. Now, with all that being said, and that being a context for you, I want to zero in on verse 4 of chapter 6. Again, I want to read it for you. It says, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Now hang on, we've got a lot to cover in a few moments. The Apostle Paul here, he is very clearly pointing his finger at fathers. This word is very clearly fathers. Why doesn't he say parents? That's a good question, isn't it? He doesn't say, mom and dad, do not provoke your children to wrath. Now, obviously, a mom shouldn't provoke her children to wrath. But Paul zeroes in and he points his finger at father. And he says, listen, fathers, you are called to be responsible. This world is full of men that have pushed off the responsibility of fatherhood. Men, God's word puts the tension on us and it says you have been called to be responsible for your home and for your family. Paul says, you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Today, what I'd like us to look at is four principles, if you will, and we will look at them in this way. How can a father provoke his child to wrath? And I have four points here, and with each point comes a positive, a principle for you as a father to put into action. Now, this word provoke, it literally means to movement or agitation of the soul, to anger, a temper. It speaks of rousing to wrath, exasperate. Other translations use that word exasperate here. Do not exasperate your children. Principle number one, or how does a father provoke your children to wrath? Number one, you can do that with unrealistic expectations. Unrealistic expectations. Now, the positive principle for you to put into practice is this. You must know your child. Children are not little adults. Let me say that again. You may think that's a simple phrase, but so many times we embrace it as truth. Children are not little adults. Their maturity level demands a certain understanding from their father of what they can and cannot do. It frustrates a child when they are expected to do something that they are unable to do. We as fathers must teach our children. We need to then do it with them, and then ease them into the new things of life. All children grow and develop at different speeds. An error that parents sometimes make is they base their expectations for their children upon other children. We need to base the expectations of our children upon our personal understanding of them as God reveals it to us. You know what all that demands, fathers? It demands that we know our kids. It demands we know them and know them well. How can you provoke your children to wrath? You create unrealistic expectations. In other words, you set out for them an accomplishment that there is no way they can accomplish it. And this frustrates and exasperates and drives your child to anger. Men, this is certainly within your control. You purpose in your heart to know your child. And as you purpose in your heart to know them, God will reveal to them the appropriate expectations for them. You are responsible for them. You are responsible to teach them and to help them to grow and to mature, absolutely. But you must do it appropriately. You must know your child. Secondly, how will you or can you, as a father, provoke your child to wrath? You do it with an unhealthy example. You do it with an unhealthy example. Have you ever heard this phrase, "Do as I say, not as I do"? Think about that. I'm going to tell you to do something. That's what I expect you to do. Don't mind if I'm doing it. When it comes to how to live, a child mostly learns by watching. You ever think about that? When it comes to teaching a child how to live, they learn how to live by watching you and watching other people. The listening reinforces what they see. Now listen to this. If you spend all your spare time watching TV, dads, you are teaching your children to neglect personal interaction. If you do not pray, you are teaching your children not to pray. If you do not read the Bible, you are teaching your children not to read the Word. If you disobey the law, you are teaching your children it is okay to disobey authority. If you cheat on your taxes, you are teaching your children that it is okay to deceive and steal. If you neglect going to church and fellowship with other believers, you are teaching your children that it is okay not to go to church. Do you get the picture, dear ones? Fathers, listen, you are responsible. You've been called to be responsible. And an unhealthy example in your life will drive your child to exasperation and anger because you tell them one thing, but you live another. What are they supposed to do? How are they supposed to live? This is such a humbling thing as a father. I called my dad this morning around 8 o'clock. I wished him a happy Father's Day. And I asked him a question. I said, "Dad, I'd like to share an illustration this morning. It involves you. May I have your permission?" And he graciously granted me his permission. I want to share this with you. When I was a child, my father, he struggled with a temper. He struggled with anger. He loved us. He worked hard. But it was a very real struggle. And it was something that we as children observed and we saw it. And we knew it wasn't right. And he knew it wasn't right. But it was still something that was a part of his life. I had grown. I was in college one night. I received a phone call. And it was from my dad. You see, my dad had been convicted after these many years of anger. And he called me up and he said, "Son, I want to ask you to forgive me for the many years of anger that I put you through. Will you forgive me? I wasn't right. And God has been working in my heart to change my life so that I might not live in this bondage and enslavement of anger." And dear ones, I remember how I felt as a son. I remember the meaning and the value of those words that I heard from my dad. And now I watch and I see how my dad's life has changed. He is submitted to God's working in his life. And he came and he told me and he sought my forgiveness. You know, he could have said, "Son, don't be angry." Yet he was being angry. But what he did, and later in life, he turned to me and he said, "Son, what I did was wrong. I seek your forgiveness." You know, I'll never forget how I felt as a boy. You know, then, not only do you need to know your child, you need to build up your child. And you don't build your child up by an unhealthy example. You build them up by honest and godly living and investing in them. You see, my dad recognized that fact. Even though maybe it was later in my life, my younger siblings all had a chance to benefit from a changed man. You know, that's valuable. And don't you ever believe that you are above seeking forgiveness from your children. You know what? I find it happening too often that I am going to my children and seeking their forgiveness. But you know what? I have to do that. They need to know that sometimes Daddy does something that is not right, and they need to know when it's not right. All of that is building into your child. Whether you are a father of grown children or of young children, allow God to touch your heart about areas of life, maybe where you have offended a child. Now is the time to make those things right. I tell you from personal experience, it will impact them for the rest of their lives when they see the humility of their father and they know that their dad wants to build them up by a healthy example. Unrealistic expectations, you need to know your children. Unhealthy examples, you need to build up your children. Thirdly, uncompassionate ears. If you look at the text, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." The text gives us two commands. It gives us the first command, provoke not. The second command is bring them up. So in other words, don't do this, but do this. Isn't God's word great? This doesn't say, don't do that, but it says this is what you should do. If you think about this idea of bringing them up, that's nourishing them up to maturity. I read one commentator that wrote it this way: "To suffer a child to grow up without any instruction in religion is about the same as to suffer a garden to lie without any culture. Such a garden would soon be overrun with weeds and briars and thorns, but not sooner or more certainly than the mind of a child." You know what? Think about your children. You could think of them as a garden. And then you need to pull those weeds. You need to take care of that garden, culture it. Bring them up. Nurture them. Bring them up in the nurture, that is the whole training and education of a child. If you want to look at it this way, it's training through actions. The nurture and admonition, you could look at it this way and say that's training through words. The nurture and admonition of the Lord. Train your children through actions. Train them through words. So, unrealistic expectations, you need to know your child. Unhealthy example, you need to build up your child. The third thing is uncompassionate ears. Uncompassionate ears. You need to listen to your children. You know, we as men, sometimes we pride ourselves in our toughness. Sometimes we pride ourselves in the fact that we have little or no emotion. But our children, they need to hear and to see a father that has a passion that is compassionate. It happens too often that a child seeks to communicate to a father, and the father doesn't listen. You can look at it this way, the simple illustration of sitting at a campfire service, and you're outside, and a child is sitting there and obediently listening to the speaker, but all of a sudden the child jumps up and starts to scream and to yell, and the father turns and strictly disciplines the child. The child tries to sit still, but no longer can. And later that night, they get home, and what do they see? The child all bit by ants. The child tries to communicate to the father, I'm hurting, I'm hurting. The child tries, but the father doesn't listen. Dear ones, that could happen in any scenario or any part of life, at any maturity or age level. Listen to your children. Don't have uncaring, uncompassionate ears that turn away from your child and just expect them to obey regardless of their concerns. I tell my children this. I give them commands, I give them instructions, but they always have an opportunity to give a respectful appeal. And it is my responsibility to give them a chance and listen to the respectful appeal. You know what? Because sometimes what I say maybe doesn't make sense. Maybe what I say shouldn't happen quite yet, or maybe they're not ready for it, and they want to tell me that. I should listen. I need to listen. So give your children an opportunity to give a respectful appeal and listen and think about it. Do we listen and discern the hurts and fears of our children? Fathers, how are you going to find them out unless you listen? Unrealistic expectations, you need to know your child. Unhealthy examples, you need to build up your child. Uncompassionate ears, you need to listen to your children. Fourthly, untimely escapes. You need to invest time with your children. How often do we read about or hear about fathers that claim fatherhood, but their fathers missing in action? Oh, this is a good time to get out of the house. And they make an untimely escape. It's sad. You look at the statistics, and fatherless homes are creating in many environments children that are angry. Children that end up in jails. Children need a father in the home. They need you, fathers, to be there. They need you. Stop looking for ways to get out of home. Stop looking for ways to get out of the responsibility that you've been called to do. You know what? How would your children describe your home? Is it a home that has a profound fatherly influence and presence? Or is it a father in name only? Is he a father in name only? Men, stop using work as an excuse. You can do that, you know? I gotta work. I gotta do it. Stop using that as an excuse. You've been called to be a father way before you've been called to do that job. You need to do what God has called you to do and trust God with the rest. Stop using work as an excuse. Our children are devalued when they see dad choose work over them. Think about the comparison. Work, children. Unrealistic expectations. Fathers, know your children. Unhealthy examples. Fathers, build up your children. Uncompassionate ears. Fathers, listen to your children. Untimely escapes. Fathers, invest time with your children. Bring them up in the nurture an admonition of the Lord. The time that you spend with your children, purposely use it to point them to God. Purposely use it to build into them godly character. I close with these comments. Fathers, don't leave your children to find the answers to life on their own. Take your role that God has called you to seriously. Live out responsibly this wonderful privilege that you've been given of fatherhood. Lord, we now take this time and we want to search our hearts. Lord, this is a powerful message, and even God, as I consider these things, it is very challenging, Lord, and I know that these points will haunt me for the rest of my days. But God, they are true. God, as a father, I want to take seriously my role and invest in these dear children. God, I pray that you would equip these men to fulfill their roles and to do it well. And Lord, now as we turn our attention to the Lord's Supper, Lord's table, I just want to ask that you'd confront our hearts with these truths. In Jesus' name, amen.